The world celebrates its Christmas because its Christ was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger.
The Church's Christmas, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Church celebrates her Christmas because the true Christ was crucified and wrapped in burial cloths and laid in the tomb.
For any size year-end donation, we'll send you an audio link of this sermon and an Advent sermon preached by Todd. Donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Please include your email address in the memo line. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. issuesetc.org or Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234, and write your email address in the memo line of your check.
When you read the New Testament, you quickly discover that Jesus saw himself. People say, well, did Jesus claim to be God? The real question isn't the claim. The question is, did Jesus himself believe he was God? The beliefs of Jesus are often something that we tend to kind of gloss over. Jesus just becomes a cardboard cutout, like someone who's just delivering lines. Jesus thinks of himself as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And this is peculiar for Jesus because he's actually the author of those promises and those prophecies himself. Those Old Testament promises are promises that he himself made about himself through the prophets before his incarnation. He's the author of those promises. And he has favorite Bible passages. One of Jesus' favorite Bible passages about himself is the stone which the builders rejected. He quotes it on a number of occasions. And then there's a passage that he quotes just once, but at such a significant point that it's, well, it's impossible to look and hear Jesus there and not realize that this is what he thinks he's all about. And one of those passages drawn straight from Isaiah chapter 61. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 61 as we continue our Christ in the Old Testament series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
I dare say this is one of Jesus' favorite Bible passages in Isaiah chapter 61. Where do we find him directly quoting it about himself?
This is beautiful because you find this in Luke's gospel, and the placement of this in Luke's gospel is very, very important that you understand how this all works together, the flow of Luke's gospel. You know, Luke's gospel, it begins with these promises of the birth of the John the Baptizer and the birth of Jesus, and then you get into chapter 3, and this is where now the baptizer is at the Jordan River, and Luke specifically quotes that Isaiah 40 passage that we looked at last week, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So this is now the baptizer preparing the way for the Lord. And then the Lord himself comes on the scene, and he is baptized. And so when he is baptized, you hear the voice of the Father then saying, this is my beloved Son. This is the one in whom I am well pleased, which, of course, takes us back to Isaiah 42, behold my servant, the one in whom my soul delights. And then the Father's voice declares this, and then you have the visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit descending upon him in bodily form like a dove. So he is now christened. He is now the Christ. And so you have the Father who is anointing him, the Son who is the anointed one, and the Holy Spirit who is the anointing. And this is all taking place in Luke chapter 3. And then Luke chapter 4 opens up with the Holy Spirit now leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And as you continue to progress through chapter 4 of Luke, then all of a sudden you hear about Jesus coming to the synagogue in Nazareth. And when he goes to the synagogue in Nazareth, the Isaiah scroll is handed to him, And he opens it up and he reads this passage from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so then he rolls up this scroll and gives it back to the attendant, sits down, everybody's eyes are on him, and they're listening to hear what he has to say because now he's going to preach on this passage. And his sermon is summarized in these very simple words. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. And so here you have the Christ taking this passage from Isaiah 61 and preaching himself to the people, that he is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises, all of them, and specifically this one in Isaiah chapter 61.
So the passage itself in Isaiah chapter 61 is kind of a catalog of Isaiah's overall view of the Christ, the coming Christ, beginning with this notion of the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Where else in Isaiah do we find the Christ being described in this kind of beset by the Spirit way?
Well, this takes place in these three very important passages in Isaiah. You start off in Isaiah chapter 11 about being anointed with the Holy Spirit. You have this in chapter 42 about being anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then you have this in chapter 61 about it being anointed with the Holy Spirit. So you have all three of these passages coming into play to give us a full picture of who the Messiah is, what he does, and what we are to anticipate when he comes. And so in Isaiah chapter 11, we need to keep this in mind, that this is coming off the hill of Isaiah 7, 8, 9, and 10. And of course, we know in chapter 7, you have that famous passage about, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. And so we're looking for Emmanuel, God with us. And this moves into chapter 8, where the people then pray. Isaiah himself petitions in the name Emmanuel, God with us. And then in chapter 9, you have further details on who he is and what he does. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And then in chapter 10, he's the mighty God that the remnant will return to. And then finally in chapter 11, it talks about how this whole Christ that we're looking for, this Son of David, this promise to the house of David, that there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots, it shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. So you have all of this taking place from chapter 7 up to 11, that now we know that he is the anointed one. He is the king. He is the Son of David. And he has the sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit himself according to his human nature. And he will be unlike any other earthly king. I mean, he will have wisdom and understanding, counsel and might and knowledge, and he will fear Yahweh. Things that all these kings before him were lacking in. They didn't have these things. They were fruitless, but now he will be fruitful. And so this whole passage in 11 is telling us that he will be the root of Jesse, that he will be this branch. He'll be this this sprout, this shoot, this netzer. And we've talked about this before, that this Hebrew word netzer, there's a play on it because it sounds like a Nazarene. From Nazarene. He's a Nazarene. He's in the place where the synagogue is at, preaching in Nazareth, because he's this Netzer. And so all of this comes into play at the synagogue of Nazareth when he's preaching on Isaiah 61. Which, of course, also is just loaded with Isaiah 42. Behold my servant, the Father says, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. And so we see this in the baptism of Jesus at the Jordan River. Again, the voice of the Father declaring that this is my beloved Son, and the Holy Spirit confirming this with a sign, with the visible manifestation in the form of a dove. So all of this is taking place, that he is this anointed one in Isaiah. But even beyond that, you even see this in Psalm 45. And it's important to understand in Psalm 45 that this is the words that are used in Hebrews chapter 1 that the Father is speaking to the Son. That the Father, the hypostasis of the Father, now speaks to the hypostasis of the Son and says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And so all of this, these passages about the anointing, the anointed one, all comes to fruition in this baptism of Jesus at the Jordan, and then his public proclaiming this fulfillment in the synagogue at Nazareth.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series with him on Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're in Isaiah chapter 61, which is taking us all over the book of Isaiah to find Christ there in that Old Testament book. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy.
Are you planning a corporate luncheon, a theme party, or an anniversary celebration? Lunch for the Bunch Catering has been serving Greater St. Louis for more than 15 years with professional staff, appealing presentation, and culinary excellence. Find out more at lunchforthebunch.com or call 618-344-1921. 618-344-1921. Lunch for the Bunch in O'Fallon, Illinois. lunchforthebunch.com.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Clear, concise, consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Christ in the Old Testament with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer in Isaiah chapter 61. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month is one of those arch books. Now, I remember, and this is, I can't believe they've actually been publishing, but they got hundreds of titles in the Arch Book Library series from Concordia Publishing House, and they're still producing them. I remember reading these as a little child myself, I remember reading them to my children. And wow, if I had grandchildren, I'm not that far away from that, I'd be reading the latest one from the Archbook series from Concordia Publishing House. That's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, The Songs of Christmas. Christmas is a time for singing. It's a time where we're hearing music all over the place. And the biblical narrative of Jesus' birth, especially according to Luke's gospel, is no different. There are songs all over it. You'll find out about it in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, The Songs of Christmas in the Archbook series. It's very affordable. It's a great stocking stuffer for your kids or your grandkids. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and ask for The Songs of Christmas. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We're in Isaiah chapter 61. Okay, we got the anointed part, and the anointing is by and with the Holy Spirit. This brings us to the name, or perhaps better said, the title that is associated with Jesus, and that is the term Christ. Take us into the Old Testament roots of that term and how it comes to us forward in the New Testament as Christ.
Yeah, well, in the Old Testament, this verb, the verbal form is mashach. Okay, so he anoints, to anoint. It's his verbal form. It's you mashach something. And so here you have the Father mashaching him. He is anointed, right? And from this you get the noun, which is Mashiach, which is the anointed one. Or as we kind of try to we take this into English as Messiah. That's where we get that term Messiah. When we take this into the Greek, we use the Greek word, the equivalent of the anointed one, is a Christos. And so that's where in English we get the name Christ. And so this is a Mashiach, an anointed one. Now, in the Old Testament scriptures, a king is an anointed one. A king is anointed by a prophet. And so you'll have a prophet come in and anoint a king. And so this is very important to understand with the flow here, that John the Baptizer prepares the way, and he is this prophet who is sent then to anoint the king. And so it's just like you would have a Samuel anointing David. Now you have the Baptizer anointing Jesus to say that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the King of Israel. This is the one who will reign from the throne of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end.
So Jesus is this Christ, and it means that in the Old Testament he's proclaimed to be the one anointed of God, and in the New Testament he actually gets that anointing, as you said before, in his baptism.
Yeah, correct. And so he has the Holy Spirit. These according to the human nature, he has these gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that he is then able to do this office, to perform the duties of this office as the anointed one. He's a king, he's a priest, he's a prophet, and so now he's been anointed to do these things. And this is one of these issues that we have in the New Testament. When he comes as the anointed one, the people are waiting for the anointed one. The people are looking for a Messiah. And now John the Baptizer says he's the one. He's the long-awaited king. He's the king that we've been looking for. Now, the people of God, as they begin to gather and hear his preaching, because this is what we're told here in Isaiah 61 specifically, he's anointed to preach. And so he's going to teach, he's going to proclaim, and he's going to bring the kingdom with this word. And so when the people gather to hear this preached word, this is when you start to get a rift, because then you start to get people say, well, the Mashiach that we're waiting for is one more like Cyrus, because Isaiah talks about Cyrus as the Mashiach, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, in Isaiah chapter 45. And remember what Cyrus does is he's one of these earthly kings. He brings the Persian Empire in to overthrow the Babylonian Empire. And so he releases the captives from this Babylonian captivity and brings them back to Jerusalem. So Cyrus allows them to come back to Jerusalem. And so you have this rift when people begin begin to listen to Jesus, and that this is really not the kind of king that they're looking for, because they want a king like Cyrus. They want a political king. They want one who's going to overthrow the Roman Empire and throw out all of this this ridiculous taxes that we have to pay and this oppression of the Roman culture, the Greek culture. We want to get rid of this Hellenization here, overthrow this oppression. And so that's the kind of king they're looking for. But when Jesus preaches, he goes back to these texts to show you that when he speaks and he brings his kingdom, he also has these signs, these miracles that testify that his kingdom is coming in his preaching. And so when he preaches this good news, he's also releasing the captives. He's opening the eyes of the blind. And you'll see this in Luke chapter 4 where he continues, and he continues to heal people. And so all of this testifies that this is your king. This is the Mashiach that we've been waiting for, but his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom.
So you're saying it is precisely by the bringing the good news to the poor, a la Isaiah 61, that he binds up the brokenhearted, that he sets captives free, that he does all of the other things that are attributed to him.
Yeah, exactly, because he's sent to preach. And so he's going to preach this whole message. He's going to bring good news. This is even where we get this whole understanding of good news is from the Septuagint. When the rabbis translate this into Greek, they take this message that he's proclaiming, and they use this phrase, oiangelizo, to tell good news. This verb, which of course then is related to the noun, oiangelion, which is the good news. And so, I mean, you can hear in the word oiangelion the word angelos, which is a messenger, and an angelos has a message. But this isn't just a message. This is a good message. And so you have this, he's going to bring this oiangelion. And we even saw this in last Sunday's gospel reading from Mark. So that Mark's gospel reading from last Sunday, which was tied to Isaiah 40 about this preaching, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. So this is how Mark even opens his account of what Jesus came to do, is immediately he talks about this prophetic word, this living voice, that there's one in the wilderness who's proclaiming the same message as Isaiah, and he's preparing the way, so that the one who is to come is a preacher too, a preacher of good news. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, and he comes to preach himself. You see, to preach Christ is to preach the gospel. So he's telling the people who he is and what he does. He's explaining what kind of a king he is and what kind of a kingdom he brings.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll be right back after this break on this Thursday afternoon, December the 11th. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He weekly leads us in our Christ in the Old Testament series, and he also does a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated in the black for 6 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2014, we're $47,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. as you consider your year-end giving.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our weekly series on Christ in the Old Testament. Today, Isaiah chapter 61 with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. He said before the break that the expectation of many when Jesus comes to fulfill this Old Testament passage is that the Messiah, the Anointed One, is going to look more like the Old Testament Cyrus, who was, of course, the means by which God delivered his people from captivity during the exile. But Jesus comes to proclaim a kind of liberty from captivity that you say is even better than getting sprung from a Babylonian exile. Talk about
that.
Exactly.
This is the problem, is that the people in Isaiah don't get it. Isaiah even says they won't get it. And then in the days of Jesus, Jesus will say it's just like what the prophet Isaiah said. You guys just don't get it. Your eyes are closed to this. You don't understand. You're not listening. Your ears are closed. But what the Messiah is bringing is something far greater than just a relief from taxes and oppression of this Hellenistic culture. Instead, it's going back to the Garden of Eden and restoring this corrupted human nature. Because the real captivity that we have, of course, is to sin and to death and to the devil. And so this liberty, this freedom that he comes to bring is one to free us from that captivity, which is a far greater capturing than anything else here physically. And so you have this good news being proclaimed to the people to be released from the dominion of darkness that's trying to prevent God's kingdom from coming by trying to prevent the preaching, to hinder this preaching of the word, because this word comes through the preaching of the word. That's how faith comes. This is the way that God brings his kingdom. This is the way that he rules in his kingdom, is through his word. And so it's a word that is to be preached and a word that is to be heard, and then hearts are converted and released from captivity. And so even this, again, when you look at the Septuagint and the rabbis are translating this into Greek, they use this word aphesis. And this word is to forgive, is to pardon, and that'll be a word that's used throughout the Gospels in the New Testament to explain what kind of liberty, what kind of freedom he brings, that he is freeing us from sins, the forgiveness of sins. In fact, this is the same Greek word that's used in Mark's Gospel chapter 1 when he says that voice of Isaiah being heard in the voice of John the Baptizer is a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that forgiveness, that liberty, that freedom from sins. And so this is what's going on here. The other unique thing with when you look at the Septuagint and when the rabbis translate is in their day they're showing you in this translation how they are teaching what the Messiah is to do. And so in the Septuagint here in chapter 61, you actually add this passage about the recovery of sight to the blind. So when you look at your Old Testament that's being translated from the Hebrew in 61, and then you look at Luke chapter 4, and you see Jesus reading, and the reading doesn't exactly match up, and especially you see this unique addition where Jesus says the recovery of sight to the blind. Well, what the rabbis were doing when they translate this is tying this passage in Isaiah 61 back with Isaiah 42. Because in Isaiah 42, when the Lord says, "This is my servant, and I've placed my spirit upon him," well, in Isaiah 42, verse 7, "And he's going to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison of those who sit in darkness." And so all of this ties together, that he comes to take us out of the devil's dominion of darkness and bring us into his kingdom of light.
So when these rabbis, literally these rabbis, see Jesus doing things like in John's gospel, making a man born blind to see again, this is screaming to them from the pages of the Old Testament that the messianic kingdom has arrived and here's the Messiah himself, even though they reject it.
I mean, this of course is the irony, but this is exactly what Isaiah had said. I mean, if you go back to Isaiah 29, I mean, that passage in Isaiah 29 just lays this all out, and it says that the Lord has poured upon them a spirit of deep sleep, and their eyes have been closed, that is the prophets, and their heads have been covered, that is the seers of these visions. And so they're incapable of actually seeing this correctly. And Isaiah tells us in 29, as he goes on, it says, "And the vision of all of this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. And when a man gives it to one who can read, he'll say, 'Read this,' and you'll say, 'I can't read it because it's sealed.'" And so Isaiah will explain that this mystery of the incarnation will not be seen by the rabbis in the days of Jesus. However, it was seen in the teaching of the rabbis prior to that time as they were anticipating the coming of Jesus. But as we know, well, what happens in time when you leave the scriptures and you wander off, and the further you wander off from scripture, you end up in your own speculation and the imagination of your own heart. Well, this is what happened by the time that Jesus actually comes on the scene, that they're now teaching something different. And so they can't even see it because it's a sealed book. But Jesus is the one who comes to open the seal. And that's why when he teaches his disciples, he will tell them that he's giving to them the keys to the kingdom so that they can open what has been locked and that the rabbis cannot see. So he gives to them the teaching, which is Christ himself. That's the key puzzle piece that's missing in their teaching.
What is this, "they will be called oaks of righteousness"? We've got about a minute and a half here. Explain that, if you would, from Isaiah chapter 61.
Yeah, this is wonderful because, again, this is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to restore the corrupted human nature. He comes to take our wickedness and then bestow upon us his righteousness. And so this whole idea that they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of Yahweh, that Yahweh may be glorified. They were making this clear that an oak is something that's strong, it's firm, it's an oak of righteousness. You see this whole understanding, this whole teaching of being justified through faith alone throughout Isaiah and throughout the New Testament. If you go back to Isaiah 53, where the Father says, "My servant shall make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." And of course, Isaiah 45, ironically, that began with Cyrus, ends on the note, "In Yahweh all the offspring of Israel shall be justified." And so this is what God is doing. He is coming to take our wickedness and give us his righteousness. He is our righteousness. And so this is made very clear in this image that we're an oak of righteousness. We cannot be moved. But it is the planting of Yahweh. It's solely his doing. And if we try to take this upon ourselves and justify ourselves, we're robbing Christ of this glory, which is his alone.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, it's great to be here, Todd.
Folks, please support Issues Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio, by making a year-end tax-deductible contribution. Now, for any size donation, we will send you an audio link of two of my sermons, an Advent sermon titled The Beginning of the Gospel and a Christmas sermon called The Church's Christmas. You can make a year-end online gift at issuesetc.org, perfectly secure. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And remember to write your email address on the memo line of your check so that we can send you a link to download those sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of this year. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We'll talk to Canon Andrew Gross about the future of the Anglican Communion. The Archbishop of Canterbury has actually said he doesn't think they're going to be able to hold the thing together or even have another Lambeth Conference in 2018. We'll also talk about media coverage of Pope Francis with Don Eden of GetReligion.org. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Jesus comes, and he fulfills to the letter everything he had promised of himself through the prophets about being the anointed one, the one who is anointed to live for us, to suffer for us, and to lay down his life at the cross for us sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.